The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers,
the way it ended, but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument.
Yeah.
You hate that I feel
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Come on now, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know,
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
Yeah, Sunday Karma with you on this Sunday morning. Craig Karmazin allegedly will join us at some point from the NBA All-Star Game out in San Francisco. We will hear from Jason Wilde this morning. But in the meantime, Alex Stroph, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All studio at the Avenue, a beautiful downtown Milwaukee on this nice Sunday morning. A lot of sports stuff to get into, right? NBA All-Star Game happening later today. The NFL season obviously in the books with the Super Bowl happening last week. What will the Packers offseason look like? Kyle and I have discussed it a lot this week on Kyle Breston Nortman. A couple of things that I still wonder. So we will get into that in a bit. We'll also be joined by Jason Wilde, as mentioned, to break down all things green and gold. Do want to talk a little college hoops in a minute. But first, Kyle and I are having home issues. It's a rough Sunday for us. I'm dealing with no hot water at my apartment complex since Friday night.
Oh, wow.
Now, I've had water heater issues before in apartments I've lived at. But typically, you at least get, like, room temperature water, right? You at least have water that's not freezing. Our water does not get above freezing. So, the shower I took yesterday was, how do I explain this? I had to practice breathing exercises while I was attempting to take a shower, but it sounded more like,
sounds like you got some slum lords over there where you stay at.
We'll see. I mean, there's just posters that say, hey, please be patient with us.
It's too cold to be taking cold showers. Like, the shower is supposed to be a place where you have peace, where you warm up.
Yeah, it was no good. So I have not showered today. So the good news is we're separated by a wall.
I haven't showered today either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I usually don't shower on Sundays before I come to work.
Do you shower on Sundays, period?
Depends on the Sunday. Yeah. Okay. We've gone through this before. I usually weekends are hit or miss if I got something to do. Like, I won't go Saturday, Sunday and not shower until Monday. I'll shower at some point.
Sure.
But had I not had anything to do yesterday, I wouldn't have showered yesterday.
Okay.
If I didn't leave the house.
All right. Well, I did leave the house. Yesterday was my girlfriend's birthday, so I had to.
Happy birthday, Strophy girlfriend.
Strophy's girlfriend, yeah, it was her birthday yesterday. Big 2-7.
She's a cougar, right?
Yeah, she's got me by like 10 months.
Oh wow, yeah. How does that feel?
I mean, she's a whole year older than me. Cougar.
Yeah. I mean, she's a cougar, man.
Like my women older.
Oh, okay, all right. Now I like that. I like them a little younger.
I've noticed. Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean you've noticed?
Well, your girl's what? Like 3 years younger than you?
Something like.
Four?
Three. Something like.
Okay. Yeah. So nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. No girl like him younger. Heck.
It's true. Two peas in a pod. No hot water in my apartment. Cold showers suck. Chris Orr, by the way, congratulations to him. Former ESPN Wisconsin host. You heard him a couple years ago on ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, among some other programming on 100.5 ESPN of Madison. Hired this week as a new quality control coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. So good for Chris, the former Wisconsin Badger. But he was a huge proponent of cold showers every day. Like he said, you know, rather than a cold plunge, take a cold shower. It builds up your immune system. It's good for you. I think that's crap. I mean, it sucked, man. I was shivering. I was attempting to breathe. So I don't know what to do. Like, we have access to showers in the building here. Is it weird to shower at work?
In emergency situations or homelessness, as you are homeless, by the way.
By definition, yeah.
Yeah, you are homeless. Yeah. So, I mean, for you, it should be okay. I mean, you already are showering somewhere that you don't pay bills at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you might as well shower here.
Can we slow down and just for maybe somebody that doesn't understand? I am not on the lease. I live in my girlfriend's apartment.
Yeah, he's homeless. He is not on the lease. He is one argument away from being on the street.
No, I'd be on Kyle's couch.
The hell you would.
You wouldn't let me in?
Nah.
If I called you, let's say it's 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, right? Ring, 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 ring. Kyle, it's Sharof. Me and the girl got into an argument. Is it cool if I stay the night? You would say, yeah, I don't think so.
Well, see, the problem is that you seem like the type that after the argument, you come to my house and then you want to talk it out, right? So then you keep me up and you disturb my house. Like, you can sit on the couch, but I don't need your sob story.
So two things here. Number one, rude. Number two, accurate. You're probably right.
See, yeah, and yeah. And unless it's real juicy, and I'm not as concerned about your relationship, so I really don't need to know all the tea. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I don't need to know the tea.
All right, fair enough. You're having some home issues as well, is my understanding.
Yeah. So my biggest issue is that I share my cable provider that I have is a shared cable provider, and every 6 weeks or maybe every 4 weeks. It makes me reset the password. It bumps me out. It kicks me out. And so then I have to reset the password over and over. It's not easy to reset. It takes steps to reset. It's not you just go there and you log into the account. It literally takes me 5 to 10 minutes to reset the password.
Slow down for a moment.
And it impacts 3 households.
Okay, I was going to say. So are you the one paying the bill?
I am not.
Whose account is it?
It is the primary Wallace household. The OG.
So your parents?
Well, I guess it's not the OG Wallace household in this city. But yes, my parents.
Okay, so it's your parents' account.
Yes.
And you are mooching off them.
I am I'm a family member. So
you are mooching off them.
I helped them set it up, and they provide me with access.
Okay. And because you are not the primary household, you were being logged out?
I have no idea, because you can have it on your phone, and on the phone it kicked me out too. So I think they have some issues where they are making people log back in, and they make you reset the password.
So were you watching, like, the NBA dunk contest? Because said to me this morning, you said yesterday was all about Mac McClung.
Yes, from the highlights I saw, yesterday was all about Mac McClung and Duncan. But I also wanted to watch the Badger game, but when I tried to watch the Badger game, it wouldn't let me log in. It had all these issues, and it doesn't take much for me to quit.
It was just, hey, this is taking too long. I'm done.
No, legitimately, I tried it. I tried to log in multiple times. Then I tried to reset the password. When I tried to reset the password, it gave me pushback, and I said, I'm good. But Mac McClung, they say, is the greatest dunker ever.
No.
Why not?
Entertaining as hell. Don't get me wrong. He's not the greatest dunker ever.
Why is that?
You ever hear of a guy by the name of Vince Carter?
Yeah, Vince Carter was pretty entertaining, but I mean, 200? And Jason Richardson was on there.
All right, can we just be honest with one another for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. You be honest.
Dunk contest, cool concept.
Yeah.
It's run out of steam.
Well, because these guys suck.
Well, yeah, and that's a problem. Like the three-point contest at least still features stars,
yeah.
Right? Steph Curry's participated a bunch. Obviously, Damian Lillard's won it a few times.
Yeah, top 75 player all time. Tyler Hero's the best player now in the Heat.
Yeah, Tyler Hero, who's the best player in the Heat, right? Buddy Hield, obviously really nice. Probably not a star, but a nice name.
A big name local and with San Francisco and the Golden State Warriors. Right.
It's a nice name regardless. When you look at the dunk contest, no disrespect to our guy Andre Jackson Jr., but it's just not really doing it for me.
Now, I mean, you got to be able to dunk. You got to be able to dunk. As Giannis said, if you do it, I'll do it with you. Talking about Ja Morant, that'd be cool.
See, that would bring
Ja Morant.
If you go Giannis and Ja Morant, and you bring in big stars who would obviously be appealing, that would fix the NBA dunk contest.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think they need to change the rules. I don't think they need to change how many attempts you get right. I think that's all fine and dandy. But when you literally, your average NBA fan probably knows what, because of Mac McClung winning the two prior years. Maybe you know who that is. But Mac McClung has scored a whopping 0 points in NBA action this year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a bench warmer. It's supposed to be about the stars, but I told you, I said it before on KBN on Friday, is that LeBron James ruined the dunk contest because he made it acceptable for stars not to have to participate. There used to be stars that participated that was just legendary. You're talking about from the Dominique Wilkins, and Spud Webb wasn't a star, but he was a talented player. You know, you're talking about guys like, Vince Carter, as you just mentioned, Tracy McGrady. Like, you have guys who are either emerging stars or soon-to-be stars or actual stars. Jordan, emerging stars. Right. So, like, you just – it lost its luster when LeBron James, the leader of the pack, said, I'm not doing a dunk contest. Now you have great young players like a Ja Morant. Did Zion ever do it?
No.
And so, like, he's known for being a great dunker before he got fat. And so my whole thing is like,
yeah, this is fat Zion.
But he literally LeBron James made it acceptable for superstars not to have to do it, and that's unfortunate because people at the All Star Weekend, you want to see the All Stars. You don't want to see the bench warmers, G League players. You want to see the All Stars dunking. That's what makes it fun. That's what makes it legendary.
Yeah, just looking at some of the stats of the guys that participated. Stephon Castle, he's a nice player. 13 points a game for the Spurs.
Oh, okay, that's how you say it. I thought it was I'm thinking of Vassell. They had like a Devin Vassell, too. Or maybe they used to.
Way to derail this one, Kyle. Nicely done.
My bad.
Andre Jackson Jr. averages about 4 points a game. I mentioned Mac McClung has scored 0 points in NBA action this year. He has 2 assists and 1 rebound. I mean, you've just got a bunch of guys who, again, if you're a hardcore NBA fan, sure, you know who these guys are. But if you're kind of like, you know, if you're the NBA fan that's watching the NFL and going to get into college basketball and your NBA season probably doesn't start until after the All-Star break, you don't know who these guys are.
Not at all. Not at all. Both people don't know who Andre Jackson Jr. is in Milwaukee.
The people know who he is in Milwaukee.
No.
And Kyle, I'm just going to say, I don't think it's because of NBA-related issues why they know who he is.
Oh, even him crashing.
He popped up in the news a couple months ago.
They'll forget. I guarantee you, I can ask multiple people around our office tomorrow who Andre Jackson Jr. is, and this is ESPN. And I guarantee you, most people do not know who he is. So, my mom don't know who Andre Jackson Jr. is, but you know who Damian Lillard is.
Right. And that's the problem for me. So I'll watch the All-Star game tonight. I do typically enjoy the All-Star game. But when you look at what...
What is it? Did they go back to a regular game, or are they got 4 games or three teams?
It's a regular game this year.
So it's a regular game. Okay.
Yeah, they're talking about maybe changing that up next year. But now you look at what the NHL is doing right now with the Four Nations.
A brawl?
I mean, you've got Canada versus USA yesterday, and there's, what, 5 fights in 9 seconds?
I guess because they booed the national anthem. Is that why?
Yeah, so this game was played in Canada.
So they booed them.
And the U.S. national anthem was obviously played, and it was booed.
So they threw hands, so they had to protect their America.
They threw a lot of hands, and ultimately it created just this awesome environment. And I mean, hockey's doing it right. Now, I don't know what the way to do it in the NBA is, right? Maybe you go U.S. versus world, and then you have a team of Luka and Giannis and Jokic. But you've only done it in the Rising Stars. You've never done it in the All-Star game.
Oh, okay.
So that would probably be at least a one-way or a one-year version of fixing some of the buzz issues. Now, again, I think the All-Star game gets more buzz than the dunk contest or the three-point contest. But to your point, if you have stars participating in the dunk contest, you're going to get 10 times as many eyes on it, right? Imagine if you have a Luka or a LeBron or a Giannis or a Ja Morant, et cetera. If you throw those names on the dunk contest, naturally you are going to get more buzz for it. So, a little disappointing. Congrats to Mac McClung, I guess.
I mean, Mac McClung,
he's done cool things, but it's just like, a lot of people are going, okay, this is the dude we watched in high school yamming it down 6 years ago when mixtapes were still a big thing on Facebook.
I think it'd be cool if Mac McClung went up against real NBA players. Wouldn't that be fascinating? I think that would have some juice. Can he go for a four-peat going up against a guy such as like a Ja Morant, going up against an actual rising star or a current star?
And maybe, right? And again, this goes to at least they try new things, because I remember last year, 2 years ago, they did the Steph Curry versus Sabrina Ionescu 3-point challenge.
Which was fun.
That was a fun, different idea. Clearly, we need that in NBA
All-Star. I honestly just hate how soft people have gotten. People are scared of competition. People are scared of not winning, losing, right? And you can't fear losing.
That was beautiful, Kyle.
Ah, thank you. I'm just being honest.
Should give that speech in 30 NBA locker rooms.
No, I mean, I don't think it would work very well. Like, who is this broke boy talking to us?
He's motivational. He knows what he's talking about.
I try to be. I told you I would love to be like the guy like Gary V. If I could just go around giving motivational speeches, I want to be like a coach, a life coach.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and text line. Kyle Wallace will give you a free pep talk if you call in this morning.
More than happy to. I can't wait to give my children pep talks.
Most impressive win of the season last night. Yesterday afternoon, rather.
I couldn't even watch it.
For the Wisconsin Badgers, despite Kyle not being able to watch it due to his cable.
Heard it was an ejection.
There was. We'll get into that. Rob Domofsky, our buddy, who covers the Packers for ESPN, he was not happy. So much to the point, if he texted me separately after I tweeted back at him, and he's very upset with referees in college for not calling illegal screens. But yeah, Kamari McGee ejected from that game, but the Badgers go to Mackey and beat number 7 Purdue last night.
That's a big deal.
We will get into that game coming up next. I want to explain why this game means so much and why it was such a big win for the Badgers, as we are 4 weeks from Selection Sunday, right? 4 weeks from today,
wow.
We will have a bracket.
Coming fast, yeah.
Yeah, it's coming fast. So it's time to gear up. It's time to lock in on college basketball. We will talk a little Wisconsin Badgers. We will talk to Jason Wilde. We will talk to Craig Karmazin. All still ahead. Jason going to join us at 10:30 breaking news. So his normal time today. I know the birthday boy yesterday, by the way, Jason Wilde.
Was it his birthday?
It was his birthday yesterday, yes. So we will catch up on the birthday festivities and the fatherly festivities and all things green and gold with him at 10:30. But coming up next, want to dive into the Badgers win over Purdue last night at Mackey. Biggest win of the season. I'll tell you why it's so important for Greg Gard and that staff and that team. Coming up next, it's Sunday Karma with you right here, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. I'm who they hate. This shit come with the fame. That's how I knew that I made it. I woke up looking as good. I'm in my prime. This gotta get played. If these ain't mad, I need to go harder. I can't let them think we the same. Sitting up like a horse, just pretty like a portrait. Mouth full of diamonds and porcelain. I know I'm gorgeous. Little bitty waist, big I don't need no corset. Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Yeah, Sunday Karma with you this Sunday morning of the NBA All-Star Game. Chef Ed is here to correct the record. Strofe hasn't been paying attention to the All-Star game. Chef Ed told Kyle in the break. Strofe's wrong. Chef Ed told Kyle in the break.
Chef Ed, should he be fired for being wrong?
We bring in Chef Ed now on the Cardinals Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Happy Sunday, Chef Ed. What's up?
Good morning, Strofe. Yeah, being a good Karma Brands employee that I am, I consider myself a good Karma Brands employee.
Yeah, pro bono.
All the merchandise you got, yes.
Yeah, I still keep winning as well, but I don't get paid. But the All-Star game today, it's TNT is dominating it because it's on TNT. So there's four teams, and the teams, all the players that were voted in were drafted by, they had put them on the draft board, and they were drafted by Shaq, Barkley, and Kenny Smith. They picked their players, and then the fourth team consists of the Rising Stars. So they go, and the first team to score the 40 points wins in advance. And then the next team, it gets to 45, and then those two teams play for the finals. That's how it's going to work this year.
I like that. Thanks, Chef Ed, for correcting the record on that. Appreciate the call, as always, on the Cardinals Talking text line. So, it's a four-team format this year, which is better. They're trying new things. And as Kyle and I were talking about with the dunk contest, this is good. This is an improvement, I think. We'll see. I'll watch it. It makes me more intrigued to watch it.
No, it should, but you didn't even know about it. So
no, I didn't. So it tells you how good of a job I've been doing
NBA.
Paying attention to the All-Star game. NBA guy. Want to get to college basketball, though, because for all of our listeners on 100.5 ESPN Madison, for years and years now, you've heard me defend Greg Gard. I believe at one point I was the resident Greg Gard defender on ESPN Madison. And that remains the same here on February 16th, 2025. After Bucky goes to Mackey and beats number 7 Purdue yesterday in a big-time win. It's the biggest win of the year, without a doubt, for Wisconsin, who really didn't have a signature win that you were raving about post-Thanksgiving, right? They had that nice win over, at the time, number 9 Arizona before Thanksgiving at the Kohl Center. Which was a nice win, by all means, right? They scored 100 points in the victory, and we were still kind of getting – it was game 4 of the season. So we were still kind of getting used to what this new Wisconsin team looked like. But that's the important part right there, this new Wisconsin team. Nobody had a tougher time this offseason than Wisconsin when it came to the transfer portal, the NIL, et cetera, and losing contributing pieces. AJ Storr gets a ton of money.
700?
I think it was more than that. To go to Kansas.
Kansas, what a bad return on investment.
He's barely playing now.
And they're not
for
playing
the Jayhawks
significantly well.
But AJ Storr, who was the leading scorer on this Wisconsin team last year, leaves and gets the bag from Kansas. your multiple-year starting point guard, Chucky Hepburn, gets paid big time to go to Louisville. And that's a damn good college basketball player, and he's having a really nice season at Louisville. But starts 3 years for Wisconsin and leaves for Louisville. Connor Asijan, a guy his freshman year, who played significant minutes off the bench, became a really good perimeter shooter for this Wisconsin team, kind of saw his minutes dwindle a year ago. I mean, he did see his minutes dwindle a year ago.
He got benched.
He takes a trip to Nebraska. And then there's just a ton of other names. You lose Tyler Wall because he runs out of eligibility. I mean, you lose a ton of key pieces in the offseason, and you have to reload. So you go out and get guys by the names of John Tonjay.
Who?
Exactly. And Xavier Amos.
Huh?
Exactly. Guys you've never heard of who are
Xavier
playing.
Xavier doesn't even really play.
No, he does. He saw a few minutes yesterday and contributed nicely against Purdue yesterday. But he's been a guy who hasn't played a ton. I mean, when you look across what this Badger team trotted out there throughout the year this year, it's a team where it's either guys that didn't play last year at all, right? Think of a guy like Jack Janicki who got 17 minutes yesterday.
And he was a walk-on originally, wasn't he?
He was a walk-on, right. He scored 11 points yesterday and went for the Badgers. Carter Gilmore got 24 minutes.
Why don't you like Carter?
I'm off that.
Okay. Were you on that publicly or was that off air?
Yeah, that was privately. But it's okay.
Oh,
it's all right.
Okay,
I didn't understand why Carter Gilmore was playing as many minutes as he was the last couple of years.
Why would you have to be private about that? I mean, I like Carter Gilmore because he was a beast in high school.
He's a local guy.
Yeah, Arrowhead.
You're right. He's an Arrowhead kid. He's a Wisconsin
Walked
guy.
On, earned it. I mean,
right.
he contributes. He's never going to be a star, but he contributes.
He's not completely inept offensively now. I mean, the previous 2 years for Carter Gilmore, opposite teams' defenses wouldn't guard him. If he had the basketball, they knew he wasn't shooting. Now he is. He's added that shot to his game, and he's become a little bit more of a threat. So I'm good with the 24 minutes yesterday. Obviously, Kamari McGee gets ejected 8 minutes into the game, or 10 minutes into the game.
I saw why he got ejected. I can't believe it.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to figure out what happened.
Well, the NCAA officials aren't calling illegal screens. I mean, it's just what's happening. 90% of illegal screens aren't
getting
called.
So did they say that he hit him where the sun don't shine on purpose? Or what?
Correct, yeah. Yeah,
did he even hit him where the sun don't shine?
I didn't ask him. I don't know if any reporters
looked
did.
Like he was fighting through the screen.
That's what it looked like to me too. I mean, it was bad. And if you call it a foul, fine, still bad, but an ejection is bonkers. But the Badgers, regardless, able to overcome and win that game. So it's a 94-84 win, 10-point win for Wisconsin, who is shooting the heck out of the 3-point ball. Made 12 of them yesterday, 40% from outside. For Wisconsin standards this year, they were bad at the charity stripe. Only 75% from the line yesterday. This was the biggest win of the season for the Wisconsin Badgers. This, pretty much solidifies the fact they'll be in the NCAA tournament now. If it wasn't already solidified, yesterday's win's going to solidify that 4 weeks out from Selection Sunday. No matter what they do in the Big Ten tournament, I think they're safe. I mean, they've been that good this year. But for a team that had to completely rebuild from the portal and the guys that stayed really weren't huge pieces outside of Stephen Crowell, Max Klesmet, and John Blackwell. You have a bunch of guys that step up. Nolan Winter playing 28 minutes yesterday. I mentioned Carter Gilmore playing 24. Jack Janicki playing 17 off the bench. Kamari McGee, been a nice piece, but ejected from yesterday's game, but been a nice piece that's developed over the course of the last few years. Can't give enough credit to Greg Gard and that staff for what they've been able to do with this Wisconsin team, when they could sit back and say, whoa, we lost everybody in the portal. This new age of college basketball stinks. No, they completely reinvented themselves. They're three-point shooters. They're getting to the line. They've built a roster kind of from scratch. And John Tonjay has evolved into one of the best players in all of college basketball right in front of our eyes. Pretty incredible what Wisconsin's been able to do this year under head coach Greg Gard. So, yes, I am a Greg Gard defender. But this is proof. This guy is a damn good basketball coach. Will it translate to March is now the question you have to wonder. Hopefully is the answer, but we won't know until about 4.5 weeks from now when March Madness gets underway. We'll dive a little bit more into that one a bit later, but coming up next, we will head to, I don't think he's physically in Green Bay, but we will metaphorically head to Green Bay.
He's doing a dad thing.
Yeah, I think he's got some sort of sports. He'll fill us in. On this Sunday morning. But Jason Wilde is going to join us next, the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, co-host of Wilde and Tausch, to break down all things green and gold. I've got a concern about how the Packers handle this offseason. We will have that conversation with Kyle and Jason Wilde. Coming up next, Alex Drove, Kyle Wallace with you right here on Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
The beauty of doing live radio is things are always subject to change, including what time your kid's basketball team plays on a Sunday morning. So we're going to bump Jason Wilde to about 11:15 this morning. We will dive more into all things green and gold coming up then. I want to wrap a bow on this Badgers conversation, though, because yesterday's win for the Badgers at Mackey against Purdue, as I said before, it is by far the biggest win of the season for Wisconsin. I think it effectively solidifies their place in the NCAA tournament. Not that you were worried about that. They've been a top 25 team all year, but they haven't really had that win yet, right? They beat Arizona in November. It was only the fourth game of the season. Arizona was probably overranked at that point. They're still a good team, Arizona is, but probably not ninth best in the country. Wisconsin going to Mackey, which, you know, by all accounts is one of the toughest places to play in all of college basketball, all of college sports. To lose a guy like Kamari McGee, who isn't a starter, but a nice piece off the bench early into that matchup due to a crap ejection. It's just awful. But to overcome that, get a double-digit win, and show that John Tonje is not only the best player in the Wisconsin Badgers, he's one of the best players in the Big Ten this year as a newcomer. It's just, it's an incredible win, and credit is due to Greg Gard and that coaching staff of the Wisconsin Badgers. But now it matters, and like it is often viewed in this sport, it's what do you do in March? What are you going to do in the tournament? And coming off of a season where the Wisconsin Badgers are upset by James Madison in the first round.
The Dukes?
Yeah, the Dukes, I believe. Fighting Dukes or something like that.
I feel better about this season.
You should. I mean, this is a better team than they were a year ago.
Yeah, and it seemed like they have a go-to guy that they can depend on.
Yeah.
Even though Stephen Crowell can't be depended on in the post, it seems like Nolan Winter has stepped up and filled the void that we really need.
Yeah.
Kamari McGee, like you said, he's better this year. John Blackwell's better this year as well. He's significantly better. So this team has more scoring punch, more scoring options, and you see how many points they've been scoring in these games.
Yeah, you mentioned Stephen Crowell. And that's the way to beat Wisconsin is if you have a dominant big, you give yourself a chance because Crowell hasn't come along as nicely as he'd hoped he has. Got into foul trouble yesterday, only played 20 minutes, took one shot. He made it, but took one shot.
It's disappointing because the development usually was there. And that's one thing I have to say about Greg Gard is he hasn't been able to consistently develop guys over 3 to 4 years, whereas under Bo, I mean, you saw Ben Bruss, right? Like Ben Bruss developed, got better. It just, I mean, Frank Kaminsky's the greatest.
Yeah,
one.
But I would say again,
on the scene.
Kyle, part of that though is the era you're in, right? And despite the fact Crowell is a guy
been
that
here
stayed
5 years,
right? Crowell is a guy that stayed and hasn't developed the way you'd hoped. I don't know if that's a Greg Gard issue though. And by the way, I mentioned he took one shot. Stephen Crowell is 7 feet tall. Kyle, do you know what shot he took yesterday and made?
Was it a three?
It sure was. Stephen Crowell did not take a shot inside the three-point line yesterday. And you're playing a Purdue team that, for the first time in a long time, does not have a dominant
seven
big.
7-for-4.
Right. No Zach Edey there this year. And your big guy's not taking shots inside. Now, Nolan Winter did. He was 4-for-7, finished with 12 points. Yeah, that's the one shortcoming this team has, but they can shoot the heck out of the three ball.
They can.
Which is just not Wisconsin's identity.
And they seemed like they struggled in the first half of the three ball, too, right? And they were still in the game. They're only down by less than 5 at half.
They were down 1 at half. Yeah,
there it is.
37-36.
And they struggled shooting the three ball. Again, I was tracking the game because I couldn't watch it. I was trying to track it as much as possible.
They laid 58 on Purdue in the second half.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
And you know what's sad about this is that if Wisconsin football were to mirror just this, where we don't need Wisconsin football to be the best team in the conference, but be competitive, beat a good football team or beat a above-average football team, then, you know, we're not sitting here disappointed. You don't have Barry Alvarez talking about how we just need to turn this program around. Like we're sitting here in a better headspace thinking about the Badger football program, but we have lost all hope because they weren't able to compete against good teams. They weren't able to, you know, well, they compete against good teams. They couldn't win. But then when they played just average or above average team, they weren't able to get the job done. And that's what makes us have not as much hope or faith. Who would have thought 2 years ago when they hired Luke Fickell that all of a sudden Greg Gard would have less of a hot seat than Luke Fickell after two seasons?
Despite being a Greg Gard defender, one of those seats is much warmer than the other right now.
It ain't Greg Gard's seat. It was a little warm going into this season, but it's right now he feels like it is outside. He's good. It's cold. Greg Gard's fine. He's fine.
Oh, he's fine. Yeah, I mean, he's not going anywhere. As I said before, that's a damn good basketball coach, Kyle. But yes, you're ultimately judged what happens in March. So if this Wisconsin team, which looks like it could be as high as a, probably as high as a two seed, I doubt they'd be a two seed, but legitimately looking at a three or four seed, they can't lose in the first round. They can't lose in the first weekend.
No, they have to get out. But last year they were fraudulent. So
that's true. Fraudulent might be strong, but they weren't as good as maybe they played in the Big Ten tournament.
They were fraudulent. We knew that.
I don't think we viewed them as a team that's going to win the national championship. They should have gotten out of the first round, right?
It was 12-5. And most people, I wouldn't say most people, but a lot of people, the sexy pick was to pick
James Madison.
James Madison to upset Wisconsin. That's how you know Wisconsin's probably fraudulent. They didn't have a legitimate chance to go to the Final Four because when you pick you to basically be the team that is, ooh, watch out for that 12-5 matchup, and you're the five, that means nobody believes in you.
Right. I'm with you on that. So, yeah, we will see. But it all comes down to what happens in March. If this team doesn't get out of the first weekend, all of a sudden we're having a very different conversation about Greg Gard. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of the sport.
I think Greg will be okay. He's been able to do more with less, and I give him credit for that because we see a football program that's spending more money than a basketball program is, and they haven't been able to maximize the talent that they had on the field, right? Whereas a basketball program where you talked about it, you lost A.J. Storr. You lost Tyler Wall, who had been there for years, but you still found a way to be successful this season. That is impressive. John Tanjay wasn't some stud or star that they picked up, right? They got some older guy who came in, has some talent, and he's flourishing under Greg Gard this year, blossoming. So, got to give him credit. On the other hand, we haven't seen that from that quarterback position for Wisconsin. Granted, Van Dyke got hurt last year, but that's been one of the Achilles heels for this football team. They haven't been able to be consistent.
No, and that's been the biggest bugaboo is they haven't been able to figure out the quarterback position. They bring 2 years in a row, a fifth-year guy, or a sixth-year guy, I guess 2 years ago was the case, and they get injured. And then that season gets derailed 2 years in a row under Luke Fickell. This football team is in a scary spot. I mean, obviously snapping one of the longest bowl eligibility streaks in the country.
Not enough disappointment around that.
No, I think people were just ready to move on because it was a gross product. Even if they had won a six game, I don't know if anybody's super excited about the Pinstripe Bowl.
You get a little bit more hopeful.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Okay. Yeah, they won six games.
Remember when Jim Leonard was able to get this team to win seven games, and I think they eventually won eight. But when they had to scratch and claw, they had to win their way in order to get into the bowl game. Like, that was impressive. It showed that this team had some fight, right? You were like, if Jim Leonard would have been the guy, people would have walked away saying, okay, let's see what he can do. He took over a football program that was struggling. They fired Paul Chris during the regular season, and he was able to get these guys into a bowl game, right? He was able to have some type of sense of hope because that's what Wisconsin fans run off. We don't run off history. We don't run off the fact that we win championships. We run off the fact that we're hopeful that we can do something. That's all we need is a little bit of hope, a glimmer of hope, and that's something that we are hopeless at now.
Yeah, I was just about to ask. You have any hope about this upcoming Wisconsin season?
I'm absolutely hopeless. I mean, I'm telling you, the transfers that they brought in, disappointing, right? Like, in quarterback position, the quarterback played on a bad team at Maryland. Like, Billy Edwards Jr. is athletic, but he didn't win. He didn't elevate that program to be like this team that was super great. You really want to get somebody that's a winner. Tyler Van Dyke, he had one down at Miami, not enough, but he won down at Miami. Tanner Mordecai, they won down at SMU, not anything big, but they won football games. Billy Edwards ain't win at Maryland. Like that, he didn't. The kid they got from San Diego State, he's only going to be a sophomore. He ain't win like that. So, I mean, we didn't bring in guys that are solidified, bona fide winners. We brought in guys that are just guys that hopefully something good can happen. And you don't have a good enough roster around a Billy Edwards Jr. in order to make sure that all of a sudden you can upset Alabama. All of a sudden you can beat a Ohio State. Like, you don't have any hope with that.
All right, Kyle. Way to take a segment that was going to be all happy and full of praise to, I'm hopeless. There's no hope.
No, legitimately, there's nothing to be happy about because at the end of the day, how much we want Wisconsin to turn around. I said this before, you got to give them a third year, but at the end of the day, we know what the result's going to be next year. We know we're going to be looking at another team that's going to be trying to scratch and claw to win six games. and it's not going to look good. It's not going to look pretty. They can change. You can change the offensive coordinator all you want, but when the culture is gone, when you haven't been able to compete in NIL era that we live in, right? You're not getting the big studs. You're not spending enough money. You're going to be mediocre. Like, they can't lean on culture anymore. That's the problem. He hasn't been able to figure out what his team is going to be because Wisconsin used to run on a W. Now it just runs on trying to figure out who they are. Those kids last year, the reason why he lost them games, because they didn't care about the fact that Wisconsin went to a bowl game all those years in a row. They got hyped up against the big-time teams because that's when you're going to be in national TV. But the Iowa game, the Minnesota game, the Nebraska game, there's no juice behind it, right? It's like, oh, okay, like, oh, we're trying to play for a bowl game. Who cares? Who cares about a bowl game? What?
Trying
to get this money.
You host a team like number one Oregon, typically, you know, naturally. There's going to be some get-up behind that one. Got the number one team in the country under the lights at your house. They played nice. They didn't win. And then those games you just mentioned, they didn't play very nice. And they certainly didn't win.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the inevitable is going to happen. You're going to have to fire Fickell.
You think that's how soon do you think that happens? Is that following this season? If
the team will struggle.
Let's say they go 5-7 again.
That's not good enough. 5-7 is bad.
Do you think they're ready to make a move away?
They should move on from Fickell. The only big thing I don't know is that he got a big-time contract, and I'm not sure you're going to be wanting to pay him. I think he signed, $50 million over 5 years or something like that?
Something crazy.
I don't know. And, you know, I don't know if there's any stipulations where he can, if he gets a head coaching job somewhere, he doesn't have to get paid out or whatever it is. But I don't know if Wisconsin's going to be willing to pay $20 million to him, meanwhile go find another coach. Which at this point, I would just say get a hot up-and-coming coach that understands NIL and wants to chase after NIL, right? And I mean, because we thought it was going to be great. We thought he was going to fix some things. We thought he was going to bring some juice, you know, launch. You know, remember they're talking about the launch? The offense hasn't launched at all.
No, it has not.
We haven't seen a good offense in years.
They will attempt to launch that offense under a new offensive coordinator here in 2025. Just to give you a heads up, you just mentioned it, the buyout for Luke Fickell. It is over $40 million, which is the 13th highest in all of Division I athletics.
So, I mean, Wisconsin just can't afford to do it. I mean, legitimately, they may have to just ride this out and hope for the best.
I mean, Jonathan Smith of Michigan State and Jeff Brom of Louisville, similar buyouts. I'm just reading from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here.
I mean, Brom's doing a good job at Louisville.
Yeah, he is. They're not going to buy him out.
Smith's
too new to really evaluate.
I think Smith is going to do a good job there from what I saw last year. They're building a culture of family.
I mean, yeah, you were inside at Michigan State. Your cousin played there.
They were competitive. Yeah. They were competitive. Their roster was sucky.
You really made this negative.
No, I didn't mean to make it negative, but I'm just comparing the Wisconsin Badger football program to the basketball program. And the basketball program has got in front of the football program, which this is not the goal. When they hired Luke Fickell, the goal was not to have the basketball program get better than the football program. You want both to be competing like they used to be, right? Like, oh, okay, football's great, or Wisconsin basketball has a good year. The best team they have is the volleyball program, the women's volleyball and women's hockey program.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a better draw. You're probably more entertained to go see a volleyball game than you are to go see a Badger football game.
At this point.
And that's disappointing.
That is. That's not how it should be, but
football's the money sport.
Obviously, when you have one that is amongst the top five best in the country versus one who's, I don't know, floating in mediocrity now.
Yeah, no, for real.
In terms of the football team. So
I want them to be really good. Like, I really do. I think they got...
Well, of course you want them to be good.
I mean, it's just...
You want all your teams to be good.
Yeah,
but the matter of the fact is they haven't been good.
Yeah.
This era, you mentioned the launch... has been an utter disappointment. Now, we've got a few months until the Badger football team takes the field again, but floating in mediocrity is what they've been doing
There's no juice for spring ball either. Nobody cares about spring
ball. Are they doing a launch 3.0 spring game?
No, I just want them to grind it out.
Yeah,
I want a tough, gritty guys that know they're the underdog. I don't want people who think that they're that good or great. I want a whole bunch of underdogs that have to fight and fight and fight. That's what I want. That's what I want from this Wisconsin football team. I want a scrappy football team that competes and fights. If they're 5-7, they compete and they fight and they scratch and they claw, at least I can say, you know what? There were some fighters this year.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear
that
you.
Sucks to say.
All right, we'll stay negative, unfortunately, because I have some worries about how the Packers are going to approach the offseason. We'll dive into that next. We've got Craig Karmazin. We've got Jason Wilde in the 11 o'clock hour. All still ahead right here. Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, yeah.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
DJ Negative Nelly getting us going on a Sunday morning. It's Sunday Karma. Alex drove Kyle Wallace.
No, I'm not negative. I just keep it real. Because you know what the thing is? This song fits kind of how I feel about Wisconsin football.
Go ahead, Adam. David on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat disagrees with you, Kyle. He says, on a day after a great Badgers win, look at Kyle Wallace all negative Nancy on us.
I'm excited about Wisconsin basketball. I am so proud of Greg Gard because I wanted to fire Greg Gard last year, and I am so excited for what he has been able to do. I think this
impressive.
Has been an outstanding coaching job by Greg Gard to get the most out of his team. This is what I like. I like a guy that understands that, you know, the chips are against him, right? Like, he didn't get the best NIL guys, but he took the team that he had and is getting the best out of them. That's exactly what Bo Ryan was able to do, is get the best out of his guys. He does a good job recruiting. I'm curious about what happened with Daniel Frittig and why he hasn't played like that.
He's only a freshman.
I thought he was going to come in and be very impactful right away, but at least you still have him around, right? So him, John Blackwell, like Nolan Winter, like there's some guys that if you're able to keep Nolan and John Blackwell around, as he has openly said he's trying to recruit his current guys to stay on the roster, and you add some more guys, who knows? I don't know if John Tanji, with the way the NCAA works, you might get another year.
David, by the way, follows up and says, Kyle's not inaccurate, though.
I mean, thank you, David. Real recognize real.
Real recognize real. Indeed. All right, that'll do it for Badger Talk, at least for the time being, because I do want to dive into the Green Bay Packers before we get to Jason Wilde coming up in about 20 minutes. Here's what we do, right? I mean, obviously, we do this thing every day. Kyle and I and Kyle Breston Nortman, weekdays 2 to 5 on ESPN Milwaukee, 2 to 4 on ESPN Madison. You know, now for about a month, we've been in the mode of, it's the offseason. It's time to approach free agency and the draft and potential trades, which the Packers really don't make. And so, of course, naturally, just given the fact we do this every day, the rumor mill swirls. And we're going to discuss the rumor mill. Myles Garrett, Max Crosby, Devontae Adams. Will the Packers trade for any of those guys or multiple of those guys? Because there are obvious positions that need an upgrade. Specifically, wide receiver. Those guys didn't take the steps you'd hope they would this year. You're going to be without Christian Watson for at least half of the season following his torn ACL in the regular season finale. Edge rusher. You couldn't rush the quarterback. You just couldn't. You couldn't get there.
Yeah, the guys you pay big money to do it or invested big capital to do it just aren't getting it done.
Or Rashawn Gary, the Pro Bowler, being one of those guys that Kyle is referencing there. So edge rusher seems like it could possibly use an upgrade. And then the other position is cornerback, as he will likely move on from Jair Alexander. Eric Stokes, who obviously hasn't done a whole lot, but former first-round pick, is a free agent. So that leaves you with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine as your top two corners on the roster.
Not fearing those two, and I love CV.
Yeah, he's been a nice piece, right? Seventh round pick 2 years ago. Has played a lot more than I think anybody expected due to the injury of Jair Alexander the last couple of years.
He's a good second corner. He's not the ideal second corner, but you know what? You're not out there getting cooked and chopped up.
So those are the three positions of need, at least as it stands right now for the Green Bay Packers. And so you wonder, okay, how are they going to attack it? Well, the idea of trades continue to be discussed. But let's keep in mind, the Packers don't trade for players. They trade away players. Go ahead. Go through your Rolodex. When's the last time the Packers made a key addition via trade? Yeah, you didn't
answer.
Yeah, right. That's probably the answer.
Did they trade for Andre Rison or they signed him?
I think they signed him.
I just remember RIP Left Eye burned his house down. That's probably before your time. I was a child.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you don't know who Left Eye Lopez is from TLC?
No, TLC the band?
The
television network?
The group, the hip-hop.
Can I not refer to them as a band?
That's kind of weird. I guess they can be a band. I mean,
we're talking about No Scrubs, right? TLC?
Yeah, okay. I guess they're a band. I guess they're a band. Do you consider Destiny's Child a band?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Group usually.
I guess group is probably more accurate. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers don't make trades, but my anger with this and displeasure with this is that sometimes you need to change what you're doing in order to get over the top. And right now you have an opportunity. And again, the Packers are going to do what they're going to do. I do believe the Packers are going to get some type of additional edge rusher, like as a Darius Smith. Will they swing for the fences? I wish they would, but probably they won't. They'll probably end up just signing some guy. Now, the receiver position is very interesting because you do have a guy out there with Davante Adams who don't know how expensive he's going to be. Maybe a great match for you because you know exactly what you're going to get from him, right? You know you're not going to get somebody who's going to ruffle feathers in the locker room. You know you're going to get a leader in the locker room. You know you're going to get a guy that's talented as well. So, and the investment-wise, 2 years, who knows what it is. I'm sure they'll set up the contract so, you know, the Packers get the good end of it.
Yeah, but here's the thing, man. Do I hope they go out and trade for a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson? Of course. Do I think it's going to happen? Not even a little bit. I would be surprised if the Packers don't run it back with at least two of those three positions.
Yeah, I can see the position they run it back with the most is that receiver.
Yeah, I agree. And that'd be a mistake, right? It'd be a mistake because you're down to three guys now, at least for a majority of the season, well, in Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and Romeo Doubs.
They're going to probably draft a wide receiver at some point during the draft.
Yeah, so third-round pick.
And then,
does that move the needle?
No. In our heads, no. But in Goody's mind, he thinks he's got the next Puka Nacua. And so I believe that what they'll do is all of a sudden you'll hear a lot of talking about a Malik Heath. You hear a lot of talking about a Tay Wicks taking the next step. You'll hear talk about Bo Melton. Like that's what they're going to depend on probably. They're going to depend on the young guys to finally take the next step. But that might be something that may end up biting them in the behind in the biggest games if they don't have a wide receiver that can, you know, separate, right? A wide receiver that can have a big breakout game. That's what they needed.
Yeah. I want to dive into that a little bit more with Jason Wilde because given what the Packers do in the offseason, could they take a swing at a depth corner? Yes. Could they take a swing at a depth piece, a defensive tackle or defensive end? Yeah. But that's not fixing the problem, at least in our eyes, to the level that we think it needs to be fixed, right? I mean, you need a game wrecker at edge. You could use a lockdown corner. You could use a true number one receiver. But in my mind, I'm starting to think, they probably just run it back at two, if not all three of those positions. Now, corner is a literal roster issue because you just don't have enough if you move on from Jair and don't bring back Eric Stokes. I mean, you're literally down. Corey Ballantyne's a free agent too, so you're really down to Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine at corner. So you need to fill some bodies there, but is that, you know, a first-round pick?
No, they're probably
going to. Sixth-round pick?
I feel pretty good about how, depending on how the draft board shakes out, they're going to draft a corner because Jair Alexander's probably gone.
I'd be okay with that.
And so these corners have been able to make an impact right away.
But do you have a true lockdown corner in year one? You say they have been able to make an impact right away.
There have been cornerbacks in the NFL now who have been able to come in and have been able to suffice, right?
Yeah, Tariq Woolen in Seattle, Christian Gonzalez in New England, first-round picks that make an impact.
You're talking about Quinion Mitchell as well.
In Philadelphia, right.
Came on eventually. Like, I mean, you can go through this year's draft. There's guys that ended up not being, you know, even Terrion Arnold. Like, he had his ups and downs for the Lions, but he was able to, you know, I think he got hurt at a certain point, but he was able to play.
Yeah. So maybe that's the way they go about it. But
what we got coming up here, Strophy?
The 7-11 is my understanding.
Well, what, is it still called that? Don't we have a mystery guest?
I think we have a mystery guest coming up next, is my understanding.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a mystery guest.
All right. Our mystery guest, I get 7 questions or 7 no's. I don't know how this game works.
I don't know either, but maybe our mystery guest knows a little bit more.
Oh, okay. So our mystery guest will join us coming up next as we begin hour number 2. It's Sunday Karma with ESPN Wisconsin.
You're listening to Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.